Welcome and get ready for a front row seat on Icons with Ava Johanna, the live show that is raising the bar in the entertainment space worldwide. You're about to be right in the middle of heart-pounding conversations and real-time connection that ignite transformation within. Our global live show stars the industry's powerhouses, visionaries, and cultural icons. Together, we'll walk the path of legendary entrepreneurs, influential business moguls, celebrities, and iconic brand architects. Join the conversation, seize the opportunity to engage directly with icons of their industries, and immerse yourself in an unparalleled learning experience. Icons isn't just a show. It's an opportunity to step into the minds and hearts of industry leaders and run with their advice. So grab your popcorn, because this is the space where icons are born. I just feel like this conversation is going to be so much fun today. Probably a little bit unhinged, but also insanely valuable. Selfishly, I am looking at this as an hour of coaching with Miss M. Haas, because she is a true brand content and business building genius. She is actually a dear friend of mine, which I am so grateful for, because we get to spend at least one or two times a month sipping on the best skinny spicy margaritas in Austin, Texas at ATX Cocina. Shout out to ATX Cocina. You are incredible. We love you. But it was a goal of mine to have Em come on the podcast, because she truly has been such a game changer for me, just simply as a friend through conversations that we've had around business, offers, content and messaging. Even just the way that she speaks, and you are going to experience it today, is like literally liquid gold in the form of messaging and how she looks at the world and how she connects with her community. Like, it is unapologetically M. And I feel like that should be your podcast if you ever have a podcast.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just so excited to have her on the podcast, because she is a true expert in everything that I mentioned, whether it's content on social media, messaging around your offers, how to fill the gaps within your offer suite so that you can scale to multiple six and seven figures, and of course beyond. So M, thank you so much for coming on Icons today. I'm so excited for this conversation.
I'm so pumped. Thank you so much for having me. This is going to be so fun.
It's going to be so fun, and it's going to be so silly too. I think the thing that I was telling you earlier is, like, let's just have fun with it, because our connection, our friendship is such a really beautiful representation of women in business that are powerful as fuck, but also have fun and enjoy themselves. And I guess this is actually a good place to start, because I know that when you were first starting in your business, you had a very logical, strategic approach to the way in which you were showing up, filling your one-to-one, that felt really limited and almost as if you were in a box. And so it was kind of the opposite of fun, the opposite of playful. And so I'd love for you to kind of just share your evolution over the last several years, because I think it's so inspiring.
Yeah. Well, first of all, what's up? I'm short for Emily, not Emma. Everybody fucking thinks it's Emma. I don't know why. Okay. So business and the evolution of it. So I think when I came into the online world, it was just a baby coaching. Like, this was just not a thing yet. So you could get away with posting shitty pictures of your oatmeal and workouts and literally get like 200 likes, 500 likes, like people commenting, because this was the first iteration, I believe, after it was a photo sharing app, of like turning it really into business. Like, I just think you started seeing more and more people, YouTubers, like becoming like full-time coaches on the side and things like that. So I was just simply like documenting my journey. I had an eating disorder when I was 16, and I found lifting weights by the grace of God. I recover on my own. And I was like, wow, I can eat what I want and also like build my metabolism and be strong and all these things, and just not striving to be smaller anymore. So I really was documenting that process, not planning on running a fucking business. I went to traditional fashion school, got picked up by Nike and Under Armour. So I'm like, I'm set. Like, this is it. And I think, like a lot of us, we get into corporate and we're just like, wow, like I'm doing bitch work. And like, for all the work that I put in college, like, you know, I'm making maybe like 2-3K a month, like starting, and this is just like not what I thought it would be. And it's definitely not just a 9-to-5. So I was running this Instagram or growing it just like as a hobby. And I became more and more fascinated by the body to just like better my designs. And I was designing workout clothes. I was at Under Armour and Nike. So as I nerded out with the body, I was like, wait a second, like I'm actually interested in this part rather than the design. And so for shits and giggles, took a bunch of certifications and literally like a psychopath and just continued to study more. And then I basically heard one of the coaches that I was following, they had their business coach on their podcast and they were literally like, I help coaches make 6 figures online. Fast forward, I spent all of my savings, basically like savings bonds from when I was a baby to pay for this program. God. Yeah. Go through the 90 days. Don't sign one fucking client. The approach was very much like DM as many people as possible until they get on the phone with you and close them. Like there was no like attraction marketing part of it. And I think the issue was that I was speaking to all women and not just like a very specific human being. You know, we would like end the sales call early. I was like so afraid as soon as somebody would have an objection. And I definitely know why I didn't get results, but I was like, you know what? Maybe it's because I'm still in corporate. So let's leave without having signed a client yet and just like roll the dice on that one and call mom and basically say, hey, that major that you paid all this money for, I'm pissing it down the drain. So I left before signing one client. Fast forward, I learned how to do high ticket sales from my next mentor and I just got really fucking good at it. And I really started seeing it as like enrolling person into their vision and not selling my program. And I just felt really connected to these women and I became more niche down in my content and things like that. But the evolution is that the focus was very much on sales and like a high ticket program all the time. So it wasn't like content was very much an afterthought. So I was on so many calls plus the fulfillment side of it that it was just like content was like in between shit when I had time, but it wasn't at the forefront. So even though I was showing up every day, it was just kind of like mini trainings and like a live stream here and there and like overdoing educational content and personal stories and stuff, like very cookie cutter. Mm-hmm. And I realized I was like, holy shit, I'm doing so much legwork on these calls to build know, like, and trust, like this isn't sustainable. And then I really looked at the path, continued this when I pivoted into business coaching and was like, all right, well, I don't want to hire a sales call closer and a bunch of assistant coaches. I don't want to have a bunch of overhead. Like, I don't know any other way, but this just doesn't feel right. Like this feels like I'm digging myself a deeper hole. And all this money that I'm making, half of it is just going to go to like all of this other shit. Mm-hmm. And content was my outlet. I was such a creative person. So I was just like, what if I flipped it? And I really just took all of this one-to-one know, like, and trust and connection that I was building on these calls and day-long DM conversation. Then a VA took that over. And I was like, why don't I just put it all into my content and building a brand? So I had about 25K of reoccurring income coming in. So it wasn't like, you know, it was like saying, fuck it, and throwing everything away. Took my last sales call, let go of my VA. I think I had one assistant coach at that point. And I was just like, okay, like I'm going to do this and I'm going to like pour everything into building a hot audience. I'm going to let go of when this is going to add up. And not only that, I started introducing low and mid ticket offers. I was like, this makes sense to me. It's a longer client journey. Like people don't have to go right into high ticket who want to get a preview of my work before just like going all in. And so within 8 weeks, I literally like looked up one day. I remember we were coming back from Disney. Shout out. I'm a Disney person. So I realized I was like, holy shit, this entire month Like people almost every single day are reaching out to me buying at different price points. And my team messaged me, like, we tripled the amount of signups from your last like mini group program. And I just realized like, I actually did it. Like this is like working, like they're feeling like the know, like, and trust. They know the M, not just the expert. Like, so I just really felt like this feels sustainable for me. Like I feel so much better. I have so much more time to pour into my content. Also like way more time with my clients because I'm not on these fucking calls back to back all the time. And I just got to a point where I was realizing too, the people that I had to get on a call with to convince to move forward, they never became dream clients. Cause it's like, I believe how somebody is in a sales conversation is most likely how they're going to become as a client. So those were always the people I had to keep enrolling even after they paid. Like, remember why you're doing this and keep going and whatever. Whereas the clients who directly reached out to me, they were like fucking superstars and like super self-led and ready to, cause they decided before they reached out, like, this is going to work and I'm going to make this happen. Like, she doesn't need to convince me. So that was the big evolution of the business model. But yes.
It's so cool to hear that though, because I think that a lot of people get very caught up in the one way that they learned or the one way that works without realizing that not only is business always changing and like our world is always changing, but we are also always changing. And I like to think of it as playing chess instead of checkers, right? Like in chess, you're not just thinking about the next move. You're thinking about multiple moves in front of you versus checkers. It's just like, what is the next thing that I have to do to survive or to win? And so I think there's this like maturity of being agile in business that you can see in your journey that a lot of people, I think, kind of need to like get called out on, especially as the world has been shifting from being in the pandemic to no longer being in the pandemic. Like you have to be willing to adjust and meet the way in which people are wanting to connect and wanting to be learning and being led, but also the way that we want to as well too. And I think about that from like my own business. Like back in during the pandemic, it was totally fine for me to be getting on sales calls and to be like constantly leading trainings and constantly plugged into social media, but like I don't have time for that anymore. Like I have a life. I can go outside now, and so I want to be able to build my business in a way that allows for me to do all of the things that I want to do that have nothing to do with business, but then like you said, like also be able to pour into the people that are already here. You mentioned the term attraction marketing. Can you just quickly share what attraction marketing is for anybody who has like zero idea of what you're talking about?
Yes. So it has nothing to do with sitting on a pillow and waiting for people to come in. Okay. And so we need literally the action and the strategy, which is a lot of, I think that the strategy side of it is you balancing out the personal side of you, like you and what makes you you, what makes you unique and different, your personality, like JoJo, for instance, like your relationship, like your hobbies, the things that you're into, like that's so important. That's like the influencer side of building a brand, right? But there's also this expert side, right? We're running a business. You want people to know, like, this is what you hire me for. This is my secret sauce. Like, this is how I can solve your problems. And so when you know how to execute both of them, right? Like through your Instagram stories, showing your lifestyle, showing your day to day, like I always love to document and sell because like I have the results that my clients want. So it's like all I'm doing is really like that influencer side of me is showing what I'm doing, what's second nature, what comes easily to me. And I'm tying it into my offer all the time. Right. So there's that, but it's also like the posts on your feed are very much positioning you as an expert. But I would argue to say, like, there's your personal story. There's things that you want to talk about that recently just happened or decisions you're making in your business, because your clients will also learn from the way that you lead and the way that you model. So not just like what you know, then it's just, I mean, they could hire anyone. So it's like there has to be a lot of specificity and detail in you owning that you know exactly who you're talking to, but also being able to show your personality and almost like being showing up as if I know they're already sold. Like they're sold on me, my brand, my personality. So like, I'm just going to like present this. I'm just going to show up and it's just a matter of time. So I do think that's the strategy side of it, but going into the mindset, just made a post about it today. You have to see when it comes to attraction marketing, you have to see yourself as a big fucking deal. And you literally have to be the evidence before it shows up. And that is such a mind fuck because it's like, oh my God, I'm like talking to myself. Like no one's reached out. Guys, trust me. Like I would have literally been in a straitjacket. Like if I really had it when I was building an audience or a hot audience and I went from letting go of sales calls and cold outreach, which was very controlled and was literally just like, all right, like I made my post. I got on stories like fuck, like and only reoccurring income was coming in. Like, yeah, if I had just waited by my phone or was like, oh, like I feel like shit, so I'm not going to show up or no one's reached out yet, like that would have never happened in 8 weeks. So I'm just all for like, go and live your life, like pour into your clients, like own the shit out of your work and what you're up to and what you're creating. Like, but also like, yeah, have fun along the way. And if you really look at yourself as a big deal, you'll talk to your audience differently. You're not going to talk to them like they're broke bitches who don't move or like, you know, or like aren't going to get resourceful. You're going to talk to them like you're like, hey, like you're actually ridiculous if you don't sign up for this. And so there's this level of audacity that has to come out. But also it's not just the way that you talk to them. It's the level of confidence that you feel when you go to show up and post. Like if you believe that you're a big fucking deal and you know this person inside and out, you're going to be specific. You're going to be detailed. You're going to say exactly what you want to say. And so this is where like the strategy side of attraction marketing and the mindset like need to go hand in hand. Like I tell my clients, I'm like, none of this is going to work if you don't see yourself as a big fucking deal. Like I will just tell you that right now. So that's in a nutshell, like you're attracting people to your work, your offers to come into your world, whatever it is. But I don't think it's like just for the launch or just for whatever you have going on. Like, I really do think it's about building that brand that continues to live on to the point where people are so sold on you. Like, you know, our old mentor used to say, like, she could sell socks tomorrow and like people would be going crazy over it. And I think that there's something to that. There's a lot of know, like, and trust built when you go and do it in that way. And so, yeah, I mean, that's why I've been able to sell all different price points since without getting on a call or whatever. But that in a nutshell is attraction marketing. I call it a hot audience, but yeah.
Yeah, I love this. And you know, something that stood out to me that you were just saying is like, you just documenting your life is literally like documenting the living proof that you can help your clients get, or the people in your community get the life and the results that they want. And I think that like me personally, when you said that, I was like, oh yeah, duh. Like the life that I live today is what I know a younger version of me deeply desired. But I know so many people wish that, you know, they had the freedom to be able to, you know, leave their office or leave their laptop midday to be able to go, you know, work out of the office or go for a walk or go get lunch with a friend. So many people wish that they were in a relationship that supported them and their goals and didn't make them feel like they had to like dim their light. So many people wish that they woke up and were excited about what they were doing or knew that they were going to have X amount of recurring income coming in. So it's such a good reminder. And I think it's so easy for us, especially when we've been in the game for a while, to like look at the things like we know and have experienced like the back of our hand is like just like a normal Monday, but it's actually like the most revolutionary thing in the world for most people.
Well, yeah, because you're not like freaking out calling your mom when like multiple four figures comes in anymore, or like you make another sale. Like you're not doing that anymore because you've normalized these things, but you still need to take a step back and be like, wait a second, like people shouldn't just buy for no reason. Like somebody could find me today. So like, I always, a really good question I ask myself is, what can I own even more today? like how nerdy I am with Google Docs with my clients, or like what my client just created, or the fact that like, yeah, like the big ass email I just got from Stripe, or what I'm working on with my team, or the fact that I even have a team.
Yeah.
Like it's the littlest things that like you honestly do need to take a step back and like notice, wow, this is such a part of my everyday and this is so normalized. But like, why am I not owning it? Like you're your own PR. You need to.
I love this so much. Okay. So everyone here, by the way, if this is your first time tuning in, you can use the chat to ask any questions. And I think that this is a really great opportunity to start asking questions about attraction marketing, creating a hot audience, content, messaging, offers. My next question is, when you are sitting down to create content daily, what is the question that you ask yourself? What is the prompt? What is the secret sauce that we can start actually like using today to create better content?
All right. So I'm going to give you the playbook here. Okay. So I think that, and this is literally what I followed to a T when I was going from no one reaching out to building a hot audience. I still do this to this day though, because I think that you need to maintain it. 75% of your content should be what I like to call problem awareness / value content, but there's different forms of it. So it's not the cookie cutter, like I could throw a rock and see like X things to get X result, like fucking yawn, like we're not doing that. So how I think of these value posts and problem awareness posts is I ask myself, if I were a fly on the wall or like a plant or whatever in this world, yeah, like a literal plant, in this girl's like apartment or house or whatever, like what is she doing behind the scenes low key that I know is getting in the way of her results or isn't what she should be doing? So this might be even something that she's believing, or a lot of people have a if this, then that kind of mindset. Mm-hmm. So what is she assuming that she needs to do before she has X desire or in order to get X desire, right? So I think problem awareness, you're bringing awareness to like, hey girl, like, listen, like we don't need to be doing that. So a really good prompt is like, you're not at X desire because you're still fucking doing this. Right. And so you immediately call it out, but then give context, like, here's what also is probably going on. And then the rest of the post you're breaking down, like, here's what you need to shift. Here's why, here's what you need to shift. Here's why. So all these things that you're pointing out that they need to shift should be a reflection of the things that you're going to teach them as their coach or their mentor, right? Like these are your pillars. These are the things you're an expert in, right? So then at the end, I just tie it all back to what I said at the beginning, right? So you'll get closer to X desire when you do X thing, right? So problem awareness content, I mean, this is when you can be saucy. You are in a way like sharing your opinion, right? So this is just where like you're basically bringing attention to like, if you haven't given a shit about this, like you need to now, because this is like literally holding you back. And then the other types of value content, like I like to say, choose like the times of the year that your ideal client's going to need you the most, right? So as a business coach, my ideal client needs very specific value content during Black Friday, the end of the year, when she's about to walk into the new year and she's like putting Home Alone away and the cookies and all that. And she's like, okay, like I got to get back into CEO mode here, right? Like what the fuck do I do? So I am going to make for those times of year, like specific content about Black Friday, right? Like here's how you could better sell out your offers this weekend. Like I'm going to make that because I want her to feel like I have her back no matter what. And then literally from one post, like treat this like an opt-in, right? Like I always say, I don't like, I am not like a Canva PDF person. Like I would rip my hair out. Like I just want to make my posts my opt-ins, right? Like I've had clients literally bookmark my posts and get results. I want that because the response has always been, if this is her free shit, I can't even imagine working with her, right? So that's really good value content. But also like, I call this go-to value. Like what is something that she could literally bookmark today and immediately use, right? So like I used to make these posts when I was a fitness coach, but like, all right, she's about to go to the gym. She probably is going after work. Okay, so like,
how could I better prepare her for that? Like, what's like something like, these are like the workout videos that you see all the time, like the swipe ones, that's very much go-to value. Somebody could bookmark that and that could be their workout that day. Right. So you're very much creating this, like, you feel very reliable to this person. You're building a lot of trust, right? And you're making it very tangible. You know, long gone are the days where we can get away with saying, you know, step one, engage with your community. Like, I used to see these posts when I was starting my business and I'm like, I literally want to throw my phone. Like, what does engage mean? Like, do I braid their hair? Like, what do I do? Right. So this is where we need to get specific and detailed. Like, I'd argue to say over deliver value, and that will be the response. And then obviously there's personal stories from the past or from recently. A lot of people don't do that. They're like, they always share the 5-year transformation post. And I'm just like, girl, like, to try to summarize in a carousel, like the past 5 years of your transformation, you're better off taking those 5 years and breaking it up into 5 different posts about each moment and each milestone, right? Each big decision that you made, a conversation, because people are going to be able to better connect when you can zoom in on each moment, where you were, what you were feeling, what you were thinking, right? And then draw the overall lesson from it. Right. And these stories should very much say a lot about the person that you are. So if you just made a really big CEO move, or you even fired somebody, or you needed to let somebody go, or you fired a client or whatever, like, obviously, like, let's let some time pass. But like, I would share, like, okay, like, this is how I led myself through, like, kind of having to let go of a client relationship, or like deciding that I wanted to cut back on my team. Because again, especially close proximity clients, they're going to want to know that too. They're going to want to see behind the scenes, but also they're like, damn, like, the way that she did that, led herself through that. Like, I want a mentor like that. You're modeling for them, right? So I was sharing a lot of posts when I was pivoting my business model and going, yes, I'm like pissing my pants, letting go of sales calls, but this is why I'm doing it, right? And I was sharing a lot with my audience. And actually, a lot of clients hired me during that time because I was taking my audience through the behind the scenes of it. And when I felt like I was going to go crazy, yeah, like, a lot of people were like, I see what you're doing. That's so fucking cool. I want to do that. Right. And I have clients with me to this day. That was 2 years ago that hired me because of that. So personal stories are great. And then I always call these catalog posts. So I don't see a lot of people doing these, but, you know, growing up, we got the L.L. Bean, the Hollister, the Abercrombie catalogs. Okay. If you were anything like me, you would make them into book covers. Okay. Like, with the hot guy from Abercrombie. Okay. Everybody did that. So
yes, we all did that.
Yes. Amazing. So these catalogs, what did they do? You were able to see what was going on. You were better able to decide based on how it looked on a person or whatever, like, sizes. Okay, when mom takes me to the mall, if I bitch enough, like, I will get this tank top at Hollister, right? So catalog posts work the same way. The purpose of them is to make the buying decision easier for your audience. So you want to share, like, the behind the scenes. If you go to change your ideal client, if you go to come out with low and mid ticket offers, a way to not blindside your audience is, like, share, okay, this is what I'm doing. This is the change that I'm making. This is what you can expect. Here's why, you know, my content program is unique and different, or why you should run and not walk to my content program. So it's almost like indirectly selling. Like, you're showing off what makes this program, you believe, like, unique and different maybe than whatever else is out there. Like, you might say, like, here's what I'm not going to teach you inside of this program. Like, I'm not going to give you a cookie cutter content schedule, or like a niche exercise, or whatever. So that is, like, a form of a catalog post, but also client case studies. But we are not going to do the client quote, or just the before and after. Okay. Or the 2-minute video of the client saying how obsessed they are with you, because your audience is going to be like, yeah, great. Like, or she must have already had this in place, or, you know, she must have done this. They're going to just have more objections and they're going to think it's great, but they're not necessarily going to buy. So what I always say is, save that shit for your Instagram stories. Like when you're taking up this kind of real estate on your feed, when you share testimonials, give the full tea. Like this is what they had in place when they came to me, right? This is what we worked on first, second, third. Here's why. Share as many receipts as you can. The message from the client is maybe somewhere in this carousel where you're pointing out what you did together. And then like, yeah, indirectly sell at the end. Like say like, so if you're ready for these kind of results and want a 6-month space with me, and then show the branding of your 6-month mastermind. Like I don't ever say link in bio or DM me, but I do definitely hint on here's the offer that's like the next step for you if you're in this spot. And I indirectly sell in my posts. So that is the playbook of the types of posts. I really think like, even if you guys, again, value 75% personal stories, catalog 25% of your time, and have the mindset when you go to sit down and do it, act like you are about to save this Canva post and send it to all of your current clients. And why I say that is when we get in the headspace of, oh, this is for a potential client. So what do I say so that they reach out or whatever? We never create anything fucking brilliant when we're in that headspace. So we need to act like, oh, all right, I'm going to send it to my current paying clients who already love me. They're sold on me. The trust is there. So I'm going to act like I'm just sending them this file. Because when you're teaching something or telling a story or your opinion or talking about your offer to your clients, you're not vague. You're not general. You're super detailed, right? But you're also fucking relaxed. You're completely yourself. So you share your personality. So to get out of the headspace of what do I say so people buy, I had to do that until I was like, all right, I don't need to really try that on anymore. I just am comfortable with my audience and I am completely myself. So your content's going to go that much faster, like when you're in that headspace and you're not going to be hanging out in Canva all day. So
Dude, that was fucking nuts. Oh my God. Like mic drop moment. Holy shit. I'm like, all right. So I basically need to completely reinvent my social strategy. That was huge, dude. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Feel like, I don't even know what to say. I'm like blown away. I think that that is just like, that's a masterclass within itself, what you just delivered. And I think such a good prompt also to be speaking just to like deliver to your clients instead of like, what do I say to get people to buy that aren't like, or that are potential clients. I've just never thought of it that way. And I'm like, oh, duh, that feels, it's such a different energy even just thinking about that.
Yeah, because I mean, you want these people who you're talking to be clients, but my whole thing is I want people to get all of me when they're seeing my content, because I don't want to show up like this, like Siri, like AI, like robotic bitch, like in my content. And then they come on a call with me and I'm like this, like cursing, giggling, like being sarcastic, like I want them to know exactly what they're getting. So like, I believe that your content should be a preview of the paying conversations that you want to have with your clients. Cause then it's like, they come in, you're not thinking like, oh my God, do they like me? Like, are they going to like think I'm this or that? There's none of that shit. Like my audience knows exactly what they're getting when they DM me.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So something that I see a lot of people struggle with, whether it's people coming into my world or, you know, just perusing the internet, is just like such a lack of specificity and clarity around their messaging. And it almost feels like phoning it in a sense, where it's like, oh, I'm just gonna like post the first thing that comes to mind, and it's just like very, very vague. So I'm curious, like when you're working with clients and you can tell that they're not being specific, it doesn't seem like they're talking to anybody, how do you help them to just take their time maybe a little bit more so that they can be more detailed in their messaging and stop speaking about everything from this like 10,000 foot view that doesn't reach and connect with anybody?
Well, the thing is that I always use the example of when I hired my feminine empowerment coach. I didn't know what the fuck shadow work was, or like any, like I, like, honestly, I didn't even fully know what embodiment was. Like, I was this robotic ice queen stuck in my masculine. So when she would go to make content, she wasn't leading with the things that I needed. She was leading with the things that I wanted. And that in a way that she knew I would be able to understand. So she wasn't using words like shadow work, anger releases, like all this stuff, right? And I always tell my clients that are somatic coaches, relationship coaches and stuff. I was like, they will get all of that in the program, right? Like, can you touch on it in the post somewhere, but elaborate on what the fuck that means? It is second nature to you, right? But they don't know what it is. So in terms of hooks in your content, like, this is where when you're too general, or like you said, it's way too over their head, like, they're not going to click on it also. But I think the second thing is with specificity and detail, there's that. I think it's also asking yourself, like, would I buy from me? Like, would I click on this? Like, I always say, if you're not laughing your ass off, or literally, like, when you're done your post being like, yes, girl, like, fuck yeah, like, this is so good. If you're not doing that, like, by yourself in your office or on your couch or wherever, like, it's not activating enough. Like, you could add a little bit more of your personality, or really even look at the first fucking slide or the first 2 seconds of the reel and be like, would I invest the time to go through this? Because a lot of people have a checking the box mindset with their content. Like, it's just a fucking task. And I'm like, but this is like a selling point though. So would you just like show up like a zombie for a sales call? No, like, you would be like jumping on your rebounder and drinking a whole thing of coffee and like whatever, and listening to a song before you get on the call. Like, you'd be all hyped up. And I think like that's the same way you have to be about your content. But I think like the third thing I always say, and how clients get more and more specific, is definitely the whole like, I always say, like, a trick that I always used when I was just like a flowery Felicia, like, I was just like super flowery, super general, is that I was like, all right, sitting in front of Canva isn't working. Like, I can't write my post from scratch in here, because I'm like getting in the whole mindset of like, oh my God, I'm about to write the post. Like, I can't do that. So what I do is that I will voice note my idea like into my phone. So if you guys, I'm only speaking for iPhone people, sorry, Android, I don't know what the fuck it looks like, but like the notes app, the notes app on your phone, if you click on that, hit that little microphone in the bottom of the keyboard and start talking out the story that you want to tell, or you start talking out as if like, act like your friends on speakerphone. And you're literally just riffing on the idea that you have. Well, yeah, then there's going to be typos and shit and all that. But like, at least like now you're able to see, oh, wow, when I sit down and type versus when I talk it out, and I'm completely relaxed and not in front of my laptop. No, I talk completely different. Right. So that was very easy for me to see, like, okay, well, it's just a matter of me relaxing. And almost like, if it's not your friend, act like you're voxering your clients or messaging them or whatever, because again, you wouldn't hold back specificity and detail when you break something down for them. But a lot of that has to do with, it's because the contract's already signed. They're already in, like, they love you. You've been on calls with them. So there's this proving energy that you need to let go of, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I want to switch gears a little bit and talk about offers and having the foresight to create like an offer suite and products that allow for people to stay in your world, enter at different levels, and like once they're in, want to stay in because they're so fucking obsessed with everything that you have to offer. And I know that you started with one-to-one, then added low and mid-ticket offers. For somebody who is in a position where maybe they're just doing one-to-one, or maybe they're just doing single sessions, they're not even doing packages, how do you, okay, twofold. One, where would you start in beefing up their offer suite But two, also, how do you begin to prep your audience to be ready for new offers and new products when you've only been selling like one single thing for X amount of time?
Okay. So what's going to save you a lot of time is going forward, you need to look at your product suite is just another word for a client journey, right? So if it's very limited, the client can only go so far, right? Or it's like, you're not going to build your empire off of one-to-one clients. Like, I'm sorry, you're just not. So the immediate thing that I would do is I've been selling session by session, or the most common thing is I just see the 3-month one-on-one package, weekly calls, messenger support. Those are the most common that I see when people get on calls with me. So I'm like, right away, why don't we add in short-term one-on-one packages outside of these one-to-one sessions? So I don't know, it's a week of Voxer, a month of Voxer, if that like applies to your coaching. Add on longer commitments, but tier your pricing. So if you charge, I don't know, $5,000 a month for 3 months of one-on-one, then 6 months might look like $4,500. And then a 12-month commitment, like you charge $4,000. So you're immediately incentivizing people to commit longer because inevitably when people are longer with you, they get more results. So let's say you circle back with everybody who couldn't do 3 months with you because that was the only thing long-term you had available. And you let them know, hey, I have some more flexible options. We're not going to use inexpensive, cheaper. We're not going to use those words. Okay. So more flexible options. And last time we talked, you were here. Like, let me know if you want details. So when they sign for, let's say, a month of Voxer or 2 weeks of Voxer or whatever, this is where like, fuck the rules. Like you can get creative. You can do 2 calls a month and then have it be a lower investment, a 1 call a month package. There's a private client right now with me. We just meet once a month. And she did weekly calls before, but then she didn't really need it anymore. That was a custom package that I literally created on the fly. And it's been perfect for her, right? So you sign, let's say, a few more one-on-one clients. What I would personally do is let them know about the upcoming group offer that you're going to be coming out with before you even announce it on Instagram. Because let's say they did something short-term, they can't quite commit long-term one-on-one with you, but they still want to stay in the momentum, right? And, you know, I do believe that people need to want to be in a group and it shouldn't be seen as like a downsell from your one-on-one. But regardless, you let former clients, even people that aren't working with you anymore, know about this upcoming group offer before it even comes out. Give them some kind of, maybe it's pre-sale before anyone else on Instagram sees it. And you're only accepting 10 people into this offer. Right. So I always say the next step would be take all of the things that you have been teaching your one-on-one clients, put it in order. Like, okay, the common thread here amongst all the clients who get results is they do these things typically in this order. Right. So that is literally how I put together my first 12-week group program. Like, I think it was on notebook paper. Like, and I was like, okay, like these are the things, this is what I'm going to teach. And I'm just not a pre-recorded person. So I can't sit in my room, sweat my ass off with a deep ring light. Like I can't do that. So I like to teach things live. So instead, what I did was I fucking sold this program. There was no content created or anything. I sold my first group offer and it was literally from people I was in the DMs with. I had no public launch for my first high ticket group offer. It was all behind the scenes. Like I didn't even mention my one-on-one at the end of sales conversations. I was just mentioning this program and really edifying it. And so what I did was I taught on the calls for 45 minutes. I hit stop record. And then literally that went into the fucking cloud. That became literally the course content that they got lifetime access to. And then all the future rounds got to just be Q&A the whole time on calls. And that was literally how the group program took off. It brought in 500,000. I ran it for 7 rounds and it was great. It skyrocketed my business. It built a lot of credibility and authority. So that's the thing I really want to stress. This isn't just like, all right, you come out with a 3-month group program. Then let's say you add a 6-month option on, which is what I did eventually. Like, it's not just for long-term reoccurring income. Like, yes, that's a huge part of it because you no longer have to like just hope and pray that one-on-one clients keep re-signing with you. But I think the bigger thing is that you're now creating results for clients one to many. And so it immediately builds a lot of credibility and authority, right? And now you have like a signature process that you're taking multiple people through, right? So I say group programs are great if you're very much like a teacher, like you love teaching and stuff. I always say if you like meeting clients with where they're at, right? And the value is not so much in the education, but the access, I say masterminds are great. Like my mindset coaching client right now, she's coming out with her first mastermind because like she doesn't really want to teach. Like she's like, I want the shit that I give them access to be like a bonus. I don't want the calls to be centered around that. Like I want to meet each client with where they're at. So masterminds are great. I think a lot of people pedestal them as like, oh, it's this like big thing. Like you have to be making a gazillion dollars out of a mastermind. No, you fucking know. You can have one. You can start off 6 months, you can make it 12. And yeah, like you have to believe the biggest thing is that there's a power in being in group. I think a lot of people pedestal one-on-one all the time.
Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, being in masterminds changed my life. I met you in one, right? Like it's not just getting access to the mentor. And that's where you can't make your marketing all about being like, you get this much access with me and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this. Well, then, yeah, you're going to attract a lot of people who are like, oh, sick. Like, I can't afford her one-on-one. All right, cool. Like, I'm going to hop in her mastermind. Like, you got to make it about the power of the group and the people that they're about to get access to along with you, right? So after that, I think that should be in place and enough reoccurring income for, let's say, the next 6 months for you between your one-on-one and this now that you have. I think that's when introducing mid and low ticket offers is the smartest thing to do. I think a lot of people see low ticket as, oh, sick. Like, well, of course my audience will buy something that's $100. So I'm just going to jump and do low ticket right away. And I'm like, a cold audience is a cold audience. So it doesn't matter if it's $2 or $2,000, like they will not buy it. Right. So a lot of people screw themselves over or they jump into low ticket. And because they're building up a hot audience still, they only sign a couple people, have no reoccurring income. Now they have to fulfill on that thing, right? Or it's just quick cash. And so I'm like, you will have such a better time and you won't be selling from lack if you have the long-term reoccurring in place. So now you can like sell these micro offers from a place of like overflow, right? So that's what I did. I mean, I had $25,000 coming in from the mastermind every month for a year before I ever touched micro offers. And it was a lot more fun. And I believe it snowballed a lot more quickly because I wasn't in a place of needing to sell them to make money. And I just knew that people needed, because they'd only ever seen me sell high ticket, I needed to communicate the value of micro offers. I needed to build up its reputation in my world, right? So I knew that that was going to take time. So when you are wanting to like warm up your audience to the thought of a long-term group offer or different price points, whatever it is, I think like the best kind of content is sharing your experience of being in group offers, right? Like I'm never going to like, you know, I'm never going to just like say an opinion without my own experience of it. So I'm going to tell stories of like, yeah, like I ghosted my mentor for a week before I paid for her mastermind, you know, or this is how I coached myself through finally hitting the PayPal button, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like Ozempeg has nothing on investing in a year-long mastermind because I felt like I lost 20 pounds. Like I would make a post like that, right? Like saying just like, oh my God, like the thought that I have her and like now I'm going to be connected to all these women for the next 12 months. I don't have to keep plugging in and out of short-term shit. Like I would be sharing those stories and starting to plant those seeds long before you go into the launch. I think masterclasses, challenges, like I do a lot of Telegram challenges now. Like I'm kind of like doing a mix of that and masterclasses. I love being on video, but yeah, doing a free one or a low ticket one, like that people see now, okay, there's this exclusive place I can hop over to like learn from her, but I'm going to get to know her, her coaching style or personality. Like I'm going to see how she would approach this topic. Okay, cool. Pull the juiciest topic that's going to be in your group program and share your story with it. So if I'm going to teach how to build a hot audience in my mini mastermind or whatever, I'm going to make a masterclass saying how I was able to build a hot audience in 8 weeks. People are fucking nosy. They want to know, how did you do it? What were you drinking and eating? Like they want to know like the full thing, right? So if Tony Robbins came out with a masterclass right now that said how to have the perfect morning routine, it's not going to do as well as him coming out with one that says how I've spent the first 10 minutes of the past 30 years,
yeah,
like of every morning. Like that's going to go way better because people see him having 114 companies and being this like epic entrepreneur, like they're going to join that masterclass way more than like a topic that feels like outside of him, if that makes sense. So did I answer the question?
Yeah. And then some. This is so helpful. Okay. I want to be super respectful of your time, but I also want to ask one more question. We have in the chat people saying this is such great information. I know I'm like going crazy right now. Okay. So let's say somebody is doing their thing, posting the content, showing up, selling, talking about their offer, but they're not getting any bites. Do you think that like when you're working with clients that come to you with that, is that a content problem? Is it a messaging problem? Where do you usually start?
It's probably an all the fucking things problem, meaning it's never, because people don't only just buy from one thing. So it's not just the one Instagram story or just the thing that's going on with your stories or the one post. Like they're buying because of the consistency of all of it over time. So yeah, like I would look at it from all angles. I would be like, okay, what are the types of posts that you're putting out, right? Like, are we really positioning you as the only obvious choice for this person that you want to work with? How specific and detailed are you getting in the types of posts that you're putting out, right? But also like, does your audience know you just as much as what you do, right? Because like, that's so much know, like, and trust right then and there. Like there's a thing called an emotional buyer, right? I am one. If I like your dog, I'll sign the contract. Like, that's me. So, you know, I teach them when they go to, not only in their content, you're doing this, but when you go to sell your offer, you're talking to different types of buyers all the time. Right. So the very emotional buyer, the analyzer buyer who has all the questions and wants to see behind the scenes. And then the buyer that wants to be called out and be like, what am I not doing? What am I not seeing? So I'd be making sure that you're consistently doing that, but also the piece around you owning and seeing yourself and showing up like you're a big fucking deal. Are you just owning the day to day of your life? And like, this is the influencer side of your business. Like you need to share, like, this is a given to me. This comes so easily to me. This didn't used to, right? This is exactly what I teach you inside of my blah, blah, blah offer, right? Like, here's how. This is for you if. Simple fucking CTA. Like, so it's just like there could be a lot more flow to it then. And I also teach my clients, please don't create double the amount of work. Whatever you just said in a post, use that as how you're going to sell your offer that day. Like lead with that, the same hook and everything. Not everybody has a magnifying glass over everything that you're doing. Like people watch your stories, but don't read your posts and vice versa. So it's like, this is where like, I don't even create double the amount of work for myself. Like I'm definitely owning the things that are going on in my life and documenting my day to day. But like, yeah, if I have a really strong message in my posts, like I'm going to say the same thing in my stories. I'm also going to turn it into a sales email. Like, why wouldn't I? So yeah, I think that's going to probably help with the consistency piece. Cause I see a lot of people, they show up when people are reaching out or clients resign or whatever, cause they're like feeling like the shit. Right. But then when things are slow or no one's reaching out, they like pull the plug. or there's like no Instagram story. And I'm like, I mean, you gotta like, that's the long game of it that you have to be committed to. It's not instantaneous. It was very humbling for me after 2.5 years of business coaching and crossing a million at that point cash for me to go like, oh, wow, no one's reaching out. Like I'm really starting over and building this hot audience. And I ended up making way more money that year because of how I felt. But a lot of people can't handle the space and the void and they want to fill it right away. And it's like, yeah, fill it by being so obsessed with your shit, blinders on, owning your stuff, posting, like move on to the next thing, like busy yourself, right? But like also, yeah, go out and live your life and show that. But I think there just has to be at some point deciding that it is going to add up and that people are going to show up, and it's just a matter of time. So that's what we work on. It's like, that in strategy.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, I think that that's the hardest thing is the patience piece. It's like, I'm going to have the conviction no matter what, and I'm going to show up no matter what. And I'm going to hold myself through the moments when people aren't moving like I would move. And even if it is uncomfortable or I have resistance come up, this is the business that I'm building. And so this is where I want my energy to be put into versus letting the external dictate then my actions and how I feel about my business or the choices even that I'm making.
Yeah, like literally imagine the programs like filling. Like when I was a little worm trying to sell like my like first high ticket group program, like I used to literally like close my eyes and imagine everybody hopping on the Zoom. And like the Voxer popping off and the winds like coming in and stuff. And like, yeah, I felt fucking crazy. And like, I had to keep trying it on, but like, you have to, I mean, it's going to affect how you show up and the strategy side of it for sure.
Beautiful. Okay. Well, this has been so valuable. And one of the things that you mentioned before we hop off is the value of mastermind spaces. And I know that you have your revolutionize your revenue 6-month mini mind. Can you share a little bit about what is entailed in that? Because I feel like it is just such an obvious place for people to be if this conversation has been lighting them up and has been of high value.
Yeah. So this actually came about because I remember what it felt like when I wasn't getting the customized hands-on support and I was in high and low 4-figure months. I still felt like, yeah, I was building credibility and authority. I was trying to build a hotter audience. I was a beginner coach still. I had a few one-on-one clients. And I just remember I was just always thrown into courses and self-guided stuff. And as powerful as they can be, I know for me, it was really about a lot of other stuff like time management and being able to like talk through, like, I'm not really feeling like an authority or like the go-to coach for my audience. And like really having the extra accountability of seeing other people move on like things they're doing for the first time. Like I know that would have really served me a lot and actually getting hands-on support, like not like staring at my business coach and kumbaya on calls, like literally like them, like pulling up my offers, like looking at my prices, like giving me feedback on content. And so revolutionize your revenue. It is really about revolutionizing the temperature of your audience, long-term reoccurring income, like you revolutionizing your mindset around how much you see yourself as a big fucking deal. That's why it's a mastermind. Like I'm there in it with you. And so are all of the girls. Like it's like they're all working and building and growing the same things. And I think it's like when that really clicks and lands, like the group program takes off. Like I've seen clients that like literally have never made high ticket sales ever. First call they have with me, decide the prices they actually want to charge and like sell 16 people in an offer. Like just literally consistency, belief, consistency, belief. And it just continues to snowball from there. And it's not just business coaches, it's binge eating, bulimia, like life coaches, weight loss coaches, I'm dating coaches, somatic coaches have been through that. And I think that's the biggest thing is like, I really do teach you, even if you have a very intangible business, or it's more about mindset, It's all about teaching you how to better market yourself so that you're telling your audience all these tangible things that you want are a byproduct of doing the work, right? Or a byproduct of being in my world. And so this is really for a group of people that obviously are stuck in high and low four-figure months, want to build that solid, consistent foundational income of five-figure months. But more so, you want to build a sustainable business that really lights you up. Like, it truly is customized. I've grown two different business models at this point, as you guys heard. So like, there's not a one-size-fits-all strategy that's going to get shoved down your throat. Like, it's really about finding what's going to work best for you. And that's what makes me so fucking proud of it. So it's 6 months. There's a lot of longevity that we can build out within that. Calls, like 4 one-on-one calls with me. It includes the Voxer and courses. And you also get access to my full body of work, like all programs, all masterclasses, like everything. So that is RYR.
Amazing. You're epic. Yeah. I love you. I feel like I just want to like put this through an AI platform, transcribe it all, and then like turn it into a teachable just PDF for myself to look at and maybe like glue onto my wall. So every day when I sit down to make content, I can just look at all of M's gems.
Yes, that is literally the name of my live stream and my free Facebook group. It's M's Gems. Yeah, love it.
Amazing. Well, we're going to link everything, but can you just share quickly for everybody that is here with us live, and thank you for everyone that is here with us live as well, where they can follow you and how they can follow up with the Mini Mind if they are interested in joining?
Yeah, so it is at M Haas on Instagram. So E M M H A A S. So 2 A's. And right now until the 11th, basically anybody who applies for Revolutionize Your Revenue, if you're a good fit, because obviously I want you to get the most out of the call, I'm giving away a free one-on-one strategy session with me. Like, honestly, get ready to like nerd out with me on this call. Like, I like will chemo-sabi your product suite, your prices, like look at your content, give you exact messaging. So even if it isn't a fit, at the end of the call, or we look at the details and it just doesn't make sense, like you will walk away with insane amounts of value. So if you're interested in that, it's all in my stories, the application link right now, or you can DM me if you have any questions.
Awesome. Amazing. I love you. You're amazing. Thank you everyone for joining us here live. Yeah, this was so epic. I'm definitely going to be re-listening to this. So thank you everyone for joining us on another show of Icons. Make sure if you're not already subscribed that you join us via avajohanna.com/icons. You'll be in the know for every guest that we have. You'll get the exclusive invite as far as the date, the time to be able to join us live and be able to interact in the conversation. I hope that y'all have found so much value through this conversation today. I know that I personally have, and I'm about to blow up my entire Instagram with all of these content tips. And I am just so grateful, for you joining.